Good evening, everyone. Welcome to Christ Church this Christmas Eve. My name is Brian. I'm one of the pastors here. We're here because Jesus Christ offers rest to those who are weary and those who are burdened and all those who would come to him. And so we're here this evening to lift high his name. So please stand with me right now as God calls his people to worship from the book of Isaiah chapter 9. The people who walked in darkness have seen a great light. Those who dwelt in a land of deep darkness, on them light has shone. For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulders. And his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and of peace there will be no end. On the throne of David and over his kingdom, to establish it and to uphold it with justice and with righteousness, from this time forth and forevermore, the zeal of the Lord of hosts will do this. Please pray with me. Father God, when the world had long been in darkness and your people had only a taste of what real redemption and peace with God looked like, you sent your son, as had been told by Isaiah and the prophets, born of a virgin and humble estate, yet occupying David's throne. So Jesus, we don't simply come to you this evening looking back at your incarnation in a sentimental way, but we recognize it as the moment when you became like those you had created, yet without sin, both to identify with us in our suffering and to redeem us from sin by your perfect obedience and death. And for that, our Christ, our Savior, our Lord and King, we've come to adore you this evening. So draw more and more praise from our lips, we ask you, by the power of your Holy Spirit. We do pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's remain standing as we sing together.
Oh come, Emmanuel, and ransom captive Israel, that mourns in lowly exile, until the Son of God you. time. Sing rejoice. Oh, rejoice, rejoice. Emmanuel has come. Has come to thee, O Israel.
Let's remain standing as we read our Old Testament lesson from the prophet Micah, chapter 5, beginning in verse 2. But you, O Bethlehem Ephrathah, who are too little to be among the clans of Judah, from you shall come forth for me one who is to be ruler in Israel, whose coming forth is from of old, from ancient days. Therefore he shall give them up until the time when she who is in labor has given birth. Then the rest of his brothers shall return to the people of Israel. And he shall stand and shepherd his flock in the strength of the Lord, in the majesty of the name of the Lord his God. And they shall dwell secure, for now he shall be great to the ends of the earth, and he shall be their peace. When the Assyrian comes into our land and treads in our palaces, then we will raise against him 7 shepherds and 8 princes of men. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. You can be seated. Covered in the haze of night, creation waits for promised land. Glory come as babe, humble to a bed of hay. Angels cry the sacred song, everlasting truth had come. The mystery at last revealed, the hope of men no more concealed. He has come to us. He has come to us. He is God with us. He has come. Broke the dawn, the radiance of God was shown. Story prophets long foretold, the Lamb of God in swaddling clothes. He came to purchase and to save this child to overcome the grave. With might and meekness would defeat, oh, mankind's mortal enemy. He has come to us. He has come to us. He is God. The Son of God is born today. The Word made flesh now dwells with us. He has come. He has come to us. He has come to us. He is God with us. sing that with me. He has come to us. He has come to us. He is God with us. He has come. Come.
Our New Testament reading tonight is from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 1, verses 26 through 38. In the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God to a city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David. And the virgin's name was Mary. And he came to her and said, "Greetings, O favored one, the Lord is with you." But she was greatly troubled at the saying, and tried to discern what sort of greeting this might be. And the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. And the Lord God will give to him the throne of his father David. And he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end." And Mary said to the angel, "How will this be, since I am a virgin?" And the angel, answered her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore, the child to be born will be called Holy, the Son of God. And behold, your relative Elizabeth in her old age has also conceived a son. And this is the sixth month with her who is called barren. For nothing will be impossible with God." And Mary said, "Behold, I am the servant of the Lord. Let it be to me according to your word." And the angel departed from her. And this is the word of the Lord.
Let's stand together. Oh, holy night, the stars are brightly shining. It is the night of our dear Savior's birth. Long lay the world in sin and error upon me, till he appeared and the soul felt its worth. Oh, thrill of hope, the weary world rejoices, for yonder breaks a new by the light of faith really be with glorious eyes cradled we stand. Here came the wise men from he break. Lift your voice, sweet hymns of joy in grateful chorus. Let all
Scripture reading comes from Luke 2, 8 through 14. And in the same region, there were shepherds out in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were filled with great fear. And the angel said to them, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped in swaddling cloths and lying in a manger." And suddenly there is with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those with whom he is pleased." This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Please be seated. Merry Christmas. You guys sounded amazing. I'm going to have to sit up front more often. It was beautiful. Thank you, Kevin. Thank you, Silas. I know them, but I still say Saul sometimes. Thank you for that. Well, Merry Christmas. Good evening. I know many of us are eagerly anticipating a present. We've seen the wrapping. It's under the tree. Maybe it has a bow on it. Some of us have picked it up and we shook it to see if it's Legos or something else. And we've felt the weight of it and we know the dimensions, and some of you more mechanical people might have even measured it to see, could it be what I'm hoping for? Is this the present I want? Is this the present that I need? And some of you are thinking, I hope that he finished this pretty quickly because I'd like to get home and figure out what this present was. And I promise you that tonight's devotional will not be extensively long, but we do want to spend a little time thinking about the very first Christmas present and the very first Christmas. And I hope as we do that together at the end of the night, we'll be able to answer for ourselves the question, is this what I was hoping for? Is this what I needed? That's my prayer for us tonight. Let's pray. Father in heaven, thank you for giving us your word that we could know you. Thank you for crying out to us through the glory of your creation, and thank you for most clearly revealing yourself to us in your Son, Jesus Christ. We pray that you would exalt your name tonight in our time together. We pray that you would honor yourself, Father. I ask that the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts would be pleasing to you. Amen. So, Mr. Bindo, John read the passage for us in Luke that we'll be kind of covering tonight. Let's look again at verses 10 and 11. Fear not, the angel said, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. For unto you this day is born in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. A Savior is born, the Christ, who is the Lord. God's people had been promised deliverance over their history for hundreds, if not thousands of years. In fact, if you trace the line of God's promises of deliverance of his people, you can take it all the way back to the garden and the fall, where God promises even there that he's going to do something to restore and redeem, to crush the work of the devil and to reconcile mankind to himself. But the people had been waiting, and tonight we read some of those promises in Micah 5 and Isaiah 9. And so now the angel busts on the scene and proclaims the Christ, God's anointed one, the promised one to come. He is God himself, and he is here. You see, the angel of the Lord, shining with the glory of the Lord, proclaimed the birth of the Lord into creation. And it's in the birth of Jesus Christ that we see the first Christmas gift. We see one part of it is that God is with us. The creator of the universe, he entered into his creation, but not in the way that you would expect. You might expect for parades, if he was born today, maybe to a starlit Hollywood couple with the best nannies, the best doctors, or in Jesus' time, you know, maybe in a palace surrounded by the most educated physicians to ensure a healthy birth of the king and heir. But that's not the way he came, is it? He didn't come with honor. He came humbly to a poor couple, a mom and an adoptive dad who had to travel a long distance. And there was no room. He wasn't even born in the inn. How could there not be room for a little baby? But there was no room at the inn for him. Rather than glory, his first bed was a trough, a manger that animals would feed from. So Jesus, the Christmas gift, did not come as we might expect with honor and with glory. He came humbly, and he came in weakness. Many of you have held newborn babies, right? They're kind of squishy. You don't want to drop them. They're not strong, you know? You kind of treat them like eggs, or at least I do, right? You want to take care of them. They need to be fed. They need to be cared for. They are unable to do anything for themselves. And in the mystery of God, he joined us in that weakness. He entrusted himself to the care of human hands to take care of him. This is important. As Jesus grew up, he experienced the full range of human life and human experience, the joy and the pain, He knew rest, and he knew great weariness. He had deep friendships and horrible betrayals. He knew what it was like to be satisfied, and he knew what it was like to long for something. It's in this way that God assures us that he's with us and that he knows us. God is not remote. We are tempted like the people of Israel would have been tempted. It's been so long since we have heard from God. It's been so long. When is God going to deliver and rescue us? And we are often tempted to say the same thing and wonder, is God near? Is he with us? But the testimony of Luke is that God is with us. He is not distant. And in experiencing the full range of human life, the scriptures say he is able to understand and sympathize with us. As the writer of the Hebrews in chapter 2 writes of Jesus, therefore he had to be made like his brothers in every respect so that he might become a merciful and faithful high priest in the service of God to make propitiation for the sins of the people. For because Jesus himself suffered when tempted, he is able to help those of us like me and you when we're tempted. And further in Hebrews chapter 4, we don't have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weakness, but we have one in every respect who's been tempted like us, yet without sin. You see, the birth of Jesus in his life assures us that God knows us. The scriptures say he knows our frame. He knit us together in our womb. Before we were born, he called us by name. Our Heavenly Father, our Savior Jesus, the Holy Spirit, is intimately close and with us. And even though he knows us, he still chooses to be with us. That might be a surprising thing. You might think, if God really knew me, I don't think he'd really want to hang out with me. Well, here's the good news of the gospel. He does. He does. In Jesus' birth, we see first the Christmas present, that God is with us. But it's impossible to receive the gift of God with us if we stop there, because we must also receive the gift that God is for us. Jesus didn't come just to be with us, but to rescue us, to be our Savior, to be for us what we could not be for ourselves. Why do we need a Savior? Why do we need God for us? It's because our heart's default is my way, not God's way. The prophet Isaiah puts it this way in Isaiah 53, all we like sheep have gone astray. We've turned every one of us to his own way, and the Lord has laid on him, on Jesus, the iniquity of us all. What does that mean? Well, I received a timely email devotional this morning from Paul Tripp. He's a great teacher, and you can sign up for free to his emails, and then you'll get them too, and you'll see my next sermon illustration next time. But he was just this morning talking about Isaiah 53, and I thought it was worth sharing with you. This is what he said. This verse includes an amazing statement of comprehensive need. All have turned, everyone, to his own way. No exemptions or exceptions. I wish I could say, but not me, or I didn't today, but I can't. Like sheep, we wander. Not only that, but as sinners, we have a drive to wander, a desire to willingly move beyond God's boundaries. Do you recognize that in yourself? I do, more than I'd like to. Why do we willingly wander, Tripp writes? Because each of us wants our own way. In our hearts still exists a desire for independence, autonomy, and self-rule. This wandering desire for independence and self-rule, the Bible calls that sin. And the result of sin is separation from God and judgment. But God, desiring to rescue us and did not leave us in this situation, he provided the sinless substitute, Jesus, the one who was fully human and fully God. In the birth of Jesus and in his life and death for us, we see the Savior who has come not just to be with us, but for us. As we read, he was tempted in every way that we are tempted, but he never sinned. He lived a life of perfect love and obedience to his Heavenly Father. And then he willingly stood in our place, stood for us, He took on himself the punishment that we deserved at the cross. As Isaiah wrote, the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. Why? Why would he do that? So that we could be forgiven, so that we could be freed from slavery to sin, and we could have life with God as his beloved children. Jesus stood in our place so that we can stand in his place before his Father. Theologians call 2 Corinthians 5:21 a passage of the great exchange. God made him who knew no sin, Jesus, to become sin for us, so that in him we can be the righteousness of God. That's the first Christmas gift. God's with us, and God's for us. So how do we receive this gift? How do we unwrap it? You know, I think one of the most well-known verses in the Bible might be John 3:16. It used to be on all the football games at some dull moment in the game, but I don't know if it's there anymore. But John 3:16, that's actually a Christmas verse if you didn't know that. Let me remind you what it says. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only son, his unique son. And whoever would believe in him wouldn't perish, but would have eternal life. Because God loved so much you and me, he was willing to give his beloved son the best gift he could possibly give to us. So the question, how do you receive this gift? How do you unwrap this gift of life with God, God with us and God for us? Well, it's a gift. How do you receive a gift? Do you earn it? You do not. It's given freely and received with thanks. So tonight, maybe you've never really received the gift. Maybe you've never really believed in Christ. I don't mean believe like accepting the historical fact that Jesus lived, died, and was raised from the dead. I mean, you can know the fact that honey is sweet without ever actually tasting the sweetness. Have you tasted the sweetness of the goodness of God in Jesus Christ for you? If you haven't, we'd be glad to talk with you about that after the service tonight. I'll hang around. I know some of the other leaders will. We'd love to talk with you about how you can know the love and forgiveness of God through faith in Christ. But the gift is also for you, many of you who are already here in Christ, because the gift that brings us into God's kingdom of and life with him is the same gift that keeps us going day by day in that kingdom, the grace of God, the truth that in Christ God is truly with us and God is truly for us. So as you go to celebrate Christmas and open your presents, I hope tonight and even tomorrow and the next day you remember your Heavenly Father loves you. Your Savior is faithful. The Spirit lives in you. And your God is with us. And he is for you. Merry Christmas. Let's pray. Father, thank you so much for the good gift of your Son, Jesus. Thank you for your patience with us who are hard-headed, wandering sheep who want our own way. Lord Jesus, thank you. You didn't balk at the call to love and to lay down your life so that we could be forgiven and saved. And I thank you for the glory to come when you return and you make all things new. You put to right everything that's wrong and we get to see you face to face. Thank you. Thank you for the gift, Father, the first Christmas gift of Jesus. Amen.
Let's stand together. Hark the herald angels sing, glory to the newborn King, peace on earth and mercy mild. God and sinners reconciled, joyful all ye nations rise.
Heaven sing,
Christ by highest heaven adore, Christ the everlasting Lord. Yes, He is in time. A virgin's womb, oh, veiled in flesh, the Godhead see.
Tradition at Christ Church to sing this last song. We're going to take the lights out. Brian is going to come and light the last candle of Advent this evening. And as he moves that candle, we want to sing Silent Night together. And I invite you to turn around and look at each other as we sing this song and take in this symbolism of Christ as the light of the world bringing light to us. Let's sing. Silent night, holy, all is calm, all is right, round yon virgin mother and child, holy infant so tender and mild, sleep in heavenly peace, sleep in heavenly peace.
Brothers and sisters, Emmanuel has come. Not only that, he has lived and died, and he rose again, and he will come again. And God has not left us alone today, but he has left us with his Spirit and with his word, and he leaves us with this blessing tonight. May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, so that by the power of the Holy Spirit, you may abound in hope. Amen.
Amen. Merry Christmas.
Love and wonders of his love.
the glory.